morning, church. It's good to be with you this morning. Good to see all your smiling faces out there today. I'm going to be over Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, the 8th verse, if you want to turn there. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, the 8th verse. Very familiar scripture to some. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I'm going to say that again. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I just come thanking you, Father, for the goodness and mercy bestowed upon each and every one of us, Lord. I want to praise you this morning, Lord, for your goodness. I want to praise you for the mercy that you bestowed upon us. I thank you for the church, Lord, here. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would take the church here this morning, open up our hearts, open up our minds, Lord, and we'll give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we ask, and amen. Solomon declared these words, "The end of a matter is better than the beginning." We might agree or we might disagree with what he's saying there. And I'll get into the point of what he means here a little bit ago. But if you're going to disagree with Solomon, my Bible tells me in 1 Kings 4:29 and 30, it tells me this about him. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceedingly much in largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore." And it goes on to say, "And Solomon's wisdom excelled all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt." And it also tells us in 1 Kings 3:12, it says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there..." Now listen to this. This is God talking to Solomon. "That there is none like thee before thee, and neither after thee shall there arise like unto thee." His wisdom was not your average run-of-the-mill wisdom. Amen? His wisdom comes from God himself. Because that's what Solomon asked for. He could have asked for anything. But God gave him wisdom, then he added everything else to it, right? That's what God did with it. That's what God did. So we ought not to jump to conclusions when dealing with something or going on in our lives or someone else's lives. And I'll tell you why. Because we need to look and we need to make sure that we see what happens through the whole thing before we make judgments on anything. Am I right? I want to look at God's Word this morning and to see just how true this is. Solomon's life started out well enough, serving God and his people, but it didn't end up that way, right? We know what happened to Solomon in the end. We understand that. 1 Kings 11:4-6, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart from other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Ziodians, and after Malcham, the abomination of the Amorites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as David his father had." Here was a man who had all that God had to offer for him. Remember, I just told you, he was wiser, and there's going to be none that was then going to be any wiser than him ever come along, as far as I'm concerned. And you know what? And it appeared to him two, and he appeared, God appeared to Solomon two different times and talked to him. You guys realize that? And talk to Solomon. You know, Greg was talking a little bit about this morning, how God, he kind of heard God's verbal voice. You know, he did to Solomon twice. He had served God all his life, yet the end where we see, he turns from God. We see that. So Solomon knew full well what he was talking about when he wrote these words down in Ecclesiastes, and he said, when it comes to judgment or something at the end of the matter, it is the fruit that tells the story at the end of it, right? That's what happened. It's what ends up. Solomon's statements are general statements, by the way. Whenever the Ecclesiastes, whenever we read them, we're experiencing considered to be true or about the way things, listen to this, are seen to be generally true. Solomon is not what I want to focus on this morning, though. Believe it or not. That's just where I want to get started. I want to use his scripture. I want to look at two other kings in God's Word. And by the way, the second one I'm going to talk about, I'm going to do this evening. This is going to be a two-part series on this. Lord willing, if I can get to it. Morning, and here's a, keep in mind the words of Solomon as I read this scripture. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. If you would with me, turn to me to 2 Kings, the 21st chapter. Let's talk about Manasseh. That's who I want to talk about first this morning. 21st chapter, 2 Kings, beginning in verse 2. This is talking about Manasseh. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high place which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made groves, and as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Now, I want you to get a good look. I'm going to read some more of this, but get a good look right now at what I'm talking about right here now. He built an altar in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said in Jerusalem, will I put my name. He built an altar for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he made his sons to pass through the fire. He sacrificed his own children. Now listen to this. And observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards, he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son in the house in Jerusalem, which I have chosen all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name there. Do you understand what he has done here? Remember the temple that Solomon had built? Remember? You know what he had done here? He had taken and took all these other gods and brought them into the house of God. And God said for him not to do it. He had also, like I told you, he had also had made where he was going to sacrifice his children. Alright? And that's not all. If anyone dare oppose him, in 2 Kings 21:16, tells us how he dealt with them. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled, listen to this, Jerusalem from one end to the other. Because besides this, his sins without he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And historians, Jewish historians tell us about this guy also. He said that he even had his grandfather sawed in two. Guess who his grandfather was? It was Isaiah, the prophet. You remember over in Hebrews 11:37, and they were stoned and they were sawn asunder? And he said, a lot of the people say that that's who he was talking about right there. Manasseh pretty much spit in the face of God, did he not? Did he not? It appears to be a waste of human flesh. Would you agree with me on that? From what all that he did? Listen, with that there's always a consequence that comes along with this. But listen, I'm going to get to my point here. Remember the scripture that I said, the beginning of it in Ecclesiastes. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning, right sometimes? Am I right? The end of a thing than the beginning. Listen. In 2 Kings 21:10-14, and the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, and has done wickedly above all the Amorites did, which were before him, and has made both Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, listen to me, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And listen to what he says. And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a plain. That's what he's going to do. And God goes ahead and listen to this. Wiping it, turning it upside down. And I will forsake the raiment of my inheritance and deliver them unto the land of their enemies. And they shall become prey and a spoil to their enemies. 2 Chronicles 33:10-11 also tells us, and the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, and they would not hearken unto him. They would not hearken unto God. You know, God tried. Therefore the Lord brought upon the captains of the host of the king of the Assyrians, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him into Babylon. They tell us that they, you know what they actually did to Manasseh? They actually put a hook in his nose and drug him. That's what they did. And they drug him out so far, and then they put him up there and made him watch as they took captive all the other people. And you know what? What would we say to something like that? Would you say, are you sitting back here thinking just like maybe I thought when I first read this? He had it coming to him. Did you think about that? No, honestly, be honest with me. Did you think that? Maybe whenever I was reading about what all that he'd done. But let us remember Solomon's words. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. 2 Chronicles 33:12-13. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord God, the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and he heard his supplications, and brought him again to Jerusalem, unto the kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. I want you to listen to that. I don't know what you are doing here today or what you think you've done in your life here today, how miserable you think you are. Tell me that you are as miserable as what I just read to you right there. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You say, well, you know what? He had to come. I'm going to tell you something. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you know what? If you die and go to hell that way, you know what? You had it coming to you. Whether or not you've done anything that you feel is that bad, whether or not you've thought in your own life and in your own mind that you're a good person, you know what? You may be the best person that you think you could be. You may have never done anybody wrong. You may have never done anything. You may have never said a bad word. I don't care what you think about yourself. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you are bound for a devil's hell. And I don't have, and I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it, but I want to tell you something. Do not sit back here and try to judge what was going on in Manasseh's life. Because as I read to you right here, God forgave him. God restored him. And it says in James 4:6, it tells us this, that he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive them their sins, and will heal their land. Amen. Folks, no matter what we want to think, whether we want to think that this country is bad, and it has gotten worse, I want to tell you something. All that it would take is for this country to humble itself, get on its knees before a just God. And I'll tell you, no matter what the abominations we think we've taken place, God will forgive them if they will humble themselves, just like he did with Manasseh. God is able to save to the uttermost. Can I hear a big amen out of that? You know what? No matter what you may have done, Manasseh even led others back in 2 Chronicles 33:17. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. You see, God restored him to his kingdom. He had done that. And whenever he got back to his kingdom, he took out everything that he had done. He destroyed all that he had done. And you know what? He even told the people, you know what? You know, if you're going to sacrifice in these high places, it's only going to be to the true God. Do you understand now what I'm saying? See what this... What we thought a little bit ago was a miserable piece of human flesh for what he had done. Look how God turned his life around. Amen? Can I tell you something? He did the same for me. He did the same for me one day. The people here get tired of hearing it. So those of you that have never heard this, let me tell you. I got saved back in 1974 at a little church in Mannington, West Virginia. You wouldn't want me as your pastor if you knew my life. But I'm going to tell you something. God looked beyond my faults and everything that was in my life. And when I got on my knees up there at that church and I got saved, praise God, he turned my life around. I never intended to preach. That's the last thing that I ever intended to do. I was just thankful that he saved me, Patty. I didn't want to stand up in front of people and talk to people, but you know what? God had different ideas. And one day he dealt with me. And he said, you know what? I need you. You know what? God needed Manasseh. He needed him. And you know what? He dealt with him. You know, praise God. Manasseh and others, you know what? The God of the Old Testament is the same God today. Micah 7:18. If you turn to that, I want you to mark the last part of that down, because this is God. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever. Mark this last bit of this in yellow. Because he delighteth in mercy. Mark it down. God doesn't want to send nobody to hell. I told you a little bit ago, if you do not accept him as your personal savior, you'll be going to hell. That is not because God wants to send you there. He delighteth in mercy. He made a way that you did not have to go. But so many people just go turn their backs and go, right? They just ignore the message. They just ignore it and go on. If you or someone you know thinks God's not just, he's just waiting to forgive you. If you think for one minute that God is not just, listen to me. He's wanting to forgive you. He takes great joy in forgiving you. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. When he come rushing into my heart up there that night, whenever I get up a Wednesday night, I'll never forget it was in October. I'll tell you this because I know if it makes such an impression on your life, you'll know when he saved you. I'm telling you what, I got on my knees and I got up out of there and the Holy Spirit flooded into my life. I want to tell you something. I got born again. I got saved. I knew I was ready for heaven right then and there. I knew it because the Spirit of God came rushing into my life. I'm going to tell you something. When I got up out of there, and I tell this so many times, but on the way home, we rode that old junky bus. And I tell you, I was like riding a Greyhound bus over to Hunter, West Virginia. That's what it was like. I looked out the window and everything that I'd went by for all those years and looked at constantly. It all looked brand new. Behold! All things become new. I looked the same. I dressed the same. But I want to tell you something. I wasn't the same. Because Jesus Christ came into my heart. Folks, he sent the only sacrifice that would work. He sent him to die upon a cross for you. His name is Jesus. The only thing that would work. You know what? God can be touched by your prayers. Can you believe? Raise your hand if you believe that this morning. God can be touched by your prayers. God heard Hezekiah's prayers. You know that? Hezekiah was, when Manasseh's father, he was dying, and he prayed to God to give him 15 extra years. Guess who was born during those 15 extra years? It was Manasseh. He was born during that time. And you know what? During those 15 years, Manasseh was born. And you may say, well, I don't know if that's a blessing or not. Listen to me. What did I tell you? More blessed is the end of something than the beginning of it, right? God heard Manasseh's prayers also. Proverbs 2:6 tells us, he said, "And train up a child in the way that it should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it." Never give up on your children, folks. Never give up on them. Satan may be whispering in your ear right now, and he may be trying to tell you, listen, there's no hope. They're too far gone. They're too far out there. John 8:44 tells it best. 44, it says in 45. He said, "Ye are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abodeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not?" Satan is the father of lies. If he's sitting on your shoulder this morning telling you there's no hope for that kid, there's no hope for that relative in your life, I'm telling you he's lying to you here this morning. Because there is hope. You know, Satan consistently accuses us, does he not? Revelations 12:10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." He accuses us before he accuses us before God day and night. I'm telling you, he is a liar. Manasseh and God worked it out. You know what? They worked it out. If we would have went by what 2 Kings alone tells us, there would have been no chance for him, would there not? Praise God, there's always a chance. Just look at his fruits. It took Manasseh's story to show us. It took that story to show us the extent of God's love, God's grace, and God's mercy to us. That's why that's in there. That's why it's there like it is. Because God wanted to show us that His mercy, His grace, and His love for human beings goes beyond what we can think. I've told this story in here before also. And I know they probably get sick of this. Who in here knows who Jeffrey Dahmer is? Remember Jeffrey Dahmer? Remember him? Do you realize he got saved whenever he was in prison? And you could think, oh, terrible that things that man did. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ saved his soul. He got saved. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're not the judge and the jury at the end of this thing. We're not the ones who picks who can be saved and who can't. We're not that. I want to tell you what. There's probably some people who wouldn't want me saved. If I go back in my life and look at it, and you know what? There's probably some people that if you go back in your life would probably think the same thing if they had a choice. Aren't you glad that God's the one? Aren't you glad that God looked down and seen fit one day to reach down and pick you up and set your feet upon a solid rock and say, well, you know what? You are a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven. Okay, Christ hears the cries of the lost and longs to save them. Whatever the need this morning, I want to tell you something. Again, listen to the words. Listen to the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 7:8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Folks, can you say that this morning? Where are you at with Jesus Christ this morning? Where do you stand? Where do you stand with the God that sent him? Are you saved this morning? I want to tell you something. It's a no-so salvation. It's not, I think so. It's not, I hope so. You know this morning, if you're sitting here in the sound of my voice, whether or not you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know it. I'll tell you what, I want to beg you, not just beg you, I want to plead with you. If you are being dealt with today by Jesus and the Holy Spirit to come up here to this altar, and in a minute we're going to give you the opportunity, and I want you not to walk, I want you to run up here this morning. I want you to get on your knees, and I'll tell you what, my Bible tells me that you know what, if you come in humbleness of heart, if you come wanting to accept it and willing to give him it all, I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ will flood your soul.
Amen. Amen.
The Spirit of God will come in to lead, guide, and direct you. There'll be no doubt about it. There'll be no doubt. I'm telling you, it's a no-so salvation. You know this morning where you're at with God. You know what? The ending of something is better than the beginning of it. I'm telling you right now, your life may, you may be sitting back here saying to yourself, well, you know what? I've made a total mess out of my life up to this point in it. And you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. I don't know what you've done in your life, but I'm going to tell you this. That's not what's important. It's what's important is what you do with Jesus Christ from this time on. That's what's important. And you know what? You come up here and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you know what? He's no respecter of person. You'll be just as fit a subject for the kingdom of heaven as some saint that's been on the road 100 years. Amen! Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? Because the ending of something's better than the beginning sometimes. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. If they come and get a song.